Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
This is political shenanigans, and you can figure out who's behind it. Burger King Ed is still alive and well, and he is messing around and trying to create chaos. He can't do it in a way that makes him public, but he's doing it through puppets and trying to orchestrate chaos. We've seen this picture show in 83, 84, 85, 86. But guess what? Having seen that nonsense, it's not happening again. So Burger King Ed and his minions, a guy who's an indicted criminal, we're not going to let him stand in the way of getting work done for the people of this city.
That is Mayor Lightfoot talking about the city council meeting tomorrow. You heard Superintendent Brown talking about it just a few minutes ago. And she's referring there to Ed Burke, who is facing federal indictment for charges, bribery, I believe, involving some signage for Burger King. She is calling him Burger King Ed. She did it a couple of times there. Ed Burke, one of three now, as of today, sitting alderman facing federal charges. Patrick Daly is another. And the third just joined the club this afternoon. Chicago Alderman Kerry Austin of the 34th Ward on the south side, indicted on bribery charges. So get your scorecards out. The numbers are adding up. You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News. On a phone line now is Art Ward, a professor at Northern Illinois University. He joins us to help keep track of what's going on in the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court wrapped up their session today. Art, welcome back.
Great to be back with you, Steve.
I hope we can still talk, even though the court is adjourned.
Yeah, well, actually, they're not technically adjourned. They've got some orders to deliver tomorrow morning, and who knows, there could be a surprise retirement announcement, but that doesn't look to be the case. So the court never ends, does it?
I want to get to that surprise retirement announcement in a minute, but tell me about the two cases that came down today. The first has to do with the voting rights decision out of Arizona.
Yeah, it's one of the big cases that we've been waiting for all term, and the fact that it's decided here at the end of the term means that it was a big deal to the justices, too, and we saw that just in the length of their opinions, really long opinions, and, you know, very much a part of the decisions that we've been seeing in recent years with regard to voting rights. I mean, the court is basically in favor of these voting restriction laws that we've been seeing all around the country, certainly in this year, but even in recent years as well. It's part of a juggernaut, conservative juggernaut to voter suppression, quite frankly.
Can you tell me a little of the specifics of the Arizona law and the court decision?
Yeah, so Arizona has a couple voting restrictions in place that they had in place for the current election, actually. So these laws were in place, and Biden was able to narrowly win Arizona despite these laws. But these laws forbid what we call out-of-precinct voting. So if somebody goes to the wrong polling location and casts a provisional ballot, their ballots are thrown out later on if it's found that they didn't go to the right, you know, location. And so even though they might have voted for president and governor statewide or national offices, and they're a legal voter in that state because they went to the wrong precinct, now their vote doesn't count for those offices and certainly for local offices. And so out of precinct voting, the court says those restrictions are allowed. And then the court says so-called ballot harvesting restrictions are allowed, which means that only a very narrow class of people can cast your ballots for you, like your loved ones or health care givers or election officials. But other groups, outside groups that might go around collecting ballots from people to cast on their behalf, you know, sealed ballots, of course, but these restrictions are also allowed, the court said. So very much a win for conservative groups in America today.
6-3 decision. Elena Kagan wrote a strong opposition, I should say, counterargument to that, but she was clearly in the minority. Now, Art, I wonder how this will impact or what this might tell us about the Biden administration's federal lawsuit against the Georgia laws. I mean, it seems like the court's saying here, states get to set their own rules.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way we want to think about the Supreme Court, is it's involved in this ongoing conversation with the other branches of government, with the American people about about these ongoing policy disputes. And that's right. There are current cases, including the Georgia case coming soon, and the restrictions that have been enacted in Georgia and other states. And what the court is signaling is they're going to allow these restrictions. And it's going to be very difficult for the Department of Justice to win that case in Georgia. And it's really signaling to other states and local jurisdictions around the country that if you want to enact more ballot restrictions, don't be afraid of the 1965 Voting Rights Act, because it can withstand these challenges. And as you say, 6-3 majority, it's pretty solid.
All right, let's go to the other decision then, and this had to do with some restrictions for, or some requirements in California. The state government said they wanted charitable organizations to disclose significant or big donors. They said they were doing that in order to watch for fraud. This was challenged by a couple of conservative groups, and again by a 6-3 ruling, the Supreme Court said that California doesn't have a right to do this.
Yeah, and this is, again, it's very similar to the Arizona case in the sense that all of these cases are about electioneering, right? And it's a kind of institutional mechanism that conservatives have been using for years, election laws and campaign finance laws to try to shore up their power at both the state and federal level where they can. And so this decision very much goes in line with that. But what's also interesting about this decision is there were a bunch of liberal interest groups that also filed briefs saying, we agree we disagree with California's disclosure requirement. And so, both conservative and liberal groups are afraid to disclose their donors in this day and age. I think a lot of donors would rather remain anonymous. So that case is a little bit more interesting because it does cross-cut across ideological lines a little
this,
bit.
And this, by extension, then, is about dark money in politics, right? It's not directly, but the opponents of this ruling would say, well, this will make it easier and easier for people to hide their donations, or groups to hide their donations that are being used in campaigns.
That's right. So in this sense, the conservative decisions today that have been handed down, it's like the apex, right, for the conservative regime that's been in power for 40 years in America, right? They have now reached the nadir of their electioneering attempts to pass voting restrictions for decades, and they've succeeded. Today's a huge victory for them, and now it's just, it remains to be seen how much farther they can push at the state and local level until there's pushback from the Biden administration and Democrats around the country.
All right, I like talking to you about the whole process of it, and last time we talked about how the least senior has the least say in the rulings and the votings and things like that. I'm interested in how they decide when to release which rulings when. And I ask because it's a conservative court. These are the season, the session this year was not a conservative slam dunk by any means, but these are two big wins, and they decided to drop them on the last day. So is this like a John Roberts mic drop? We're gone and we did it? Or why is it that they decide to save a couple for the last day, and what's the significance of that?
Yeah, it's always the case that the big cases are handed down at the end of the term, usually regardless of when they're orally argued before the justices, and that's because those cases take longer for the justices to decide. And you can see by the length of the opinions in the Arizona case today, the clerks draft the opinions and they're circulated to the other members of the court, and then they all have their say and they weigh in and ask for changes, and that can go back and forth for months. In the most controversial cases, as these cases were. And so that's why you see them coming down at the end of the term, because it just takes that long for them to come to consensus, not only among the majority coalition, but the dissent coalition as well. The dissenters coalescing around something they all agree on. So even though Kagan writes it, if the others join it, then they all have to have a hand in and is saying it, just as the majority coalition does. And by the way, I would say, talking about the junior justice, Brett Kavanaugh, it turns out this term, he's in the majority more than anyone else.
Yeah.
The majority, 97% of the time.
That's a surprise is always nice. Okay, let's talk retirement. There's talk that Justice Breyer may well retire just because of the weirdness of the way the Scalia death was handled. If Breyer is to be replaced by the Biden administration, unfortunately, it seems like it would have to happen in the first couple of years. Is he going to retire? He didn't announce anything today.
Yeah, we didn't hear anything today from the Chief Justice. He announced the retirement of a bunch of people that worked at the court, you know, six staffers, but he didn't announce the retirement of Justice Breyer. But Justice Kennedy announced his retirement hours later after the decisions were handed down on the last day. And so, you know, a justice can announce their retirement anytime they want.
Right.
So, you know, we may be waiting a long time, though, I'm afraid, for Justice Breyer. It doesn't look like he's stepping down anytime soon, and we've talked about why. He feels that he's been mostly successful this term, being with the Chief Justice, keeping the decisions toward the middle, notwithstanding the Arizona decision today.
So he'll wait for his own mic drop maybe another day. Art Ward, a professor at Northern Illinois University, always a great help, Art. Thanks very much.
Yeah, my pleasure, Steve.
You're listening to the Afternoon News. We're going to head into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming up.
WGN.